Over the past couple of weeks, we have seen turmoil in the financial markets. And we have witnessed billions of dollars being evaporated from the stock market. We see countries that are about to miss their debt payments, who are taking measures, austerity measures, forcing cuts, taxes on their citizens, and people are protesting in different parts of the world, in Greece and in New York City as well. For example, the Occupy Wall Street movement. We see unemployment soaring in many countries, many Western countries, especially for young people. And for example, Spain, which almost has 50% unemployment rate for young people. We see banks, we're protected in Canada, alhamdulillah, for the most part, so far. But we see banks internationally that are about to run out of money. And 3 years ago, when this trouble started, when this financial crisis first appeared, when the trouble first started, the governments thought that they could borrow their way out of this. So borrow more money, spend it at that time, you know, with spending and other measures to inject money into the economy and hope that somehow it would improve. But the feeling now is, at least in some circles, that, well, maybe not. Perhaps that was something that didn't work, and perhaps it can't continue to work. Because essentially, what we end up doing is we end up mortgaging our future. And somehow, sometime, it will have to be paid. Otherwise, we're going to end up defaulting on that. The retiring president of the European Central Bank said, quote, "We are experiencing the worst crisis. We are experiencing the worst crisis since World War II. Now, the reasons from a financial point of view can be very complex, right? So we have the subprime mortgage issue in the US, you know, basically lending money to anyone and everyone, and then the banks or these lenders essentially selling these mortgages to distribute the credit risk to investors through different products, for example, mortgage-backed securities, and so on and so forth. But the root of all of this, the root of the problem, and some people may disagree, but the root of it points to five letters. The root of it points to five letters. And those five letters are G-R-E-E-D, greed. In its extreme form, it leads a person to overlook or simply not care about consequences, about ethics, about risks, and just convinces the person, greed that is, convinces the person that you can continue going ahead and ahead and ahead, trying to get more and more and more and more without taking any consideration, without taking into consideration any of these things. Now, greed is the insatiable human desire for more. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam very simply but beautifully explained this when he said, "لو أن لابن آدم واديا من ذهب أحب أن يكون له واديا." That if a son of Adam were to own a valley of gold, if he were to own a valley of gold, he would desire to have two. Right? Even if a person were to own a valley of gold, filled with gold, an entire valley, you can just imagine it, right? A valley filled with gold. Even then, the human being would not be satisfied with that one valley of gold and would want two of them. The Prophet ﷺ says, he goes on, وَلَنْ يَمْلَأَ فَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابُ وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ تَابُ. That nothing can fill his mouth except the earth of the grave. So this mouth, right? The human nature is such that a person keeps wanting and wanting more and more and more, and nothing can satisfy, right, that desire, that thirst, that hunger, whatever you want to call it, except for the dirt of the grave, right, the earth of the grave. When that goes inside, then it's full, right, then it's full, then you can't have anything more. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah turns with mercy to him who turns to him in repentance, right? So this is human nature. Right, this is human nature, and for that we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it indicates to us, because of the fact that it's human nature, at one point or the other we're going to be guilty of greed. We're going to be guilty of exactly what the Prophet ﷺ has described, perhaps not in relation to a valley filled with gold, but with one desire or one form of wealth or one luxury or the other. So this is precisely what greed is. The selfish and excessive desire for more of something, for example as money, than is needed. But it doesn't have to be limited to money. Right? So the excessive, the selfish desire to keep having more and more and more of something, not being satisfied. Now greed is one of the, as we just discussed, right, one of the lowly human traits. But unfortunately, greed is also something that is exploited for the benefit of making wealth. Right? So it is there, it exists, but it's also exploited for the benefit of making wealth. So the human desire for more and more and more and more is what really, in some ways, you could argue, fuels the economy. Right? So every advertisement for a product or service tries to convince you that you can somehow benefit from it, that you need it, even if you don't need it. Right? So for example, Apple just released the iPhone 4S. Right? So every marketing message is crafted to make you want the iPhone 4S, even if you already had the last four versions. Right? So I was looking at different ads, you know, on Google. So iPhone 4S with over 200 new features, years ahead and moving forward. Another tagline, the most amazing iPhone yet. Right? So I wonder what they call the last four iPhones. Right? It's the best iPhone yet. Right? So all of these messages crafted to try to tell you that, okay, you're missing on something, and if you buy this product, you're going to, you know, you're going to have something that you're missing. So now, right, you'll see that once it's released, you know, all these people who may, many of whom who probably already had an iPhone, all four versions, the first ones, right, will be lining up to buy it, an iPhone 4S. Why? Why would they be doing that? Because probably they hope they'll get something more out of it, you know, more bragging rights perhaps, you know, more satisfaction in being the first ones to have this new product. Or, you know, maybe they'll have the ability to do more things on their phone and so on and so forth. So basically the point is that we live in an environment where more is simply better. Right? That's what we are taught, that's what we understand, that when we have more of something, when we do more of something, it's better. So this culture of more, more, more gives us a boost, gives a boost to that lowly human desire to want more. And thus, what happens? It's not only, you know, the big corporations or the banks that are guilty, it's not just the bankers, right? It's not just the CEOs, but we all end up falling into that trap. Right? It's something that starts affecting our personal lives as well. So a classic example, you know, so a person is living a decent life, you know, has a decent income, comfortable life, and you find yourself with some extra money. So you have this extra money sitting in your bank account and you say, okay, what should I do with this money? Because again, we're taught that you should, you know, keep getting more and more and more. So if you have money sitting in your account, that's lost opportunity, right? There's an opportunity cost to that. It's just sitting there. It's not making you more money, right? Again, the word more, right? So now you think, okay, what should I do with this? So I'll invest it somewhere. So you start looking into stocks and, you know, you figure out, okay, what's the cheapest, you know, way to make a trade and so on. And you sign up online or you get yourself a stock broker or whatever. And, you know, you invest in some stocks. Now, you made a good decision or you got good advice and the stock starts going up and up and up and up and you're happy, you're satisfied, you check every day. You know, back in the days, you would get the newspaper and check. Today, you go online once a day, you know, every few days, check where your stocks are. Okay, you're happy. Until it reaches a peak. Then it drops by, you know, a few dollars. And there appears to be some trouble for that company or for the economy in general. Now, normally, you know, you would think, if you're prudent, that this would be perhaps a good time to sell. But your greed kicks in and you think, you know, you want more profits. So you think, well, perhaps, you know, if I hold on to it for a little bit longer, I'll recover those few dollars that I lost. Not looking at how many you have already gained, right? So you think that maybe I can recover this little loss. But what ends up happening? In some cases, you end up losing and losing and losing, and that greed costs us the whatever gains we had made, and if not that, then at the very least, it costs us our peace of mind. Or another example. So you have, you know, a respectable job with decent pay, but what happens? We keep looking for a better paying job so that we can have a higher salary, so that we can make more money, so that we can have more prestige. Finally, we think we found that opportunity. You know, that opportunity comes, it's a good position, it's a better position, you're going to get better pay, you make the jump. And what happens then? the workload is greater, you know, you suffer from more stress, you have less time with your family, you have less time for worship, you have more health problems, so on and so forth. So there, our greed ends up costing us our health, our family life, our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of these things suffer. Or, you know, we're living in a decent house, we have a decent home, and just as we are getting closer to paying it off, just as we're getting closer to paying it off and you're making the payments and you look like you're making some progress, one day a thought's going to come to your mind. Say, you know, I'm close to paying off this house, why don't I get a better house, right, or a bigger house? Everyone else is getting one, right? The stock, the real estate market looks good, you know, it'll be a good investment, so on and so forth. You convince yourself, right? And as you're about to pay off your house, you end up buying a bigger house, you take on more debt, and the cycle continues. So, you know, simple examples of how greed ends up affecting us. Or very simply, perhaps, you know, every time when we spend money, it hurts us. Right? This is one of the signs as well. That when we spend money, it hurts us. It makes us worried. We even feel sad when we are asked, for example, for charity. Right? So when there's an appeal, and there's an appeal for charity, and we have the opportunity to give, right, to help others in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so on and so forth, we are reluctant. It hurts us. It makes us sad to actually do that, even though we may have, you know, thousands in the bank. So these are all signs of greed. Or our desire for more, our greed, you know, ends up blinding our judgment. So this is when it starts going to the extreme. Starts blinding our judgment, and we start behaving recklessly. So we start overlooking ethics, right? Not only things that Islam teaches us, but that are simply part of good ethical behavior taught by other religions as well. You know, we start indulging in things that are prohibited just to satisfy our greed. But dear brothers and sisters, let us be very, very clear. Let us understand very, very clearly that greed will not lead us to success. Being greedy, acting upon our instincts of greed, of our desires of being greedy, will not lead us to success. It just can't. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given a very good example, and he says, two hungry wolves, if let loose among a flock of sheep. Because you can imagine what can happen in that situation, right? If you have two hungry wolves who are let loose on a flock of sheep, he says, cause less harm than a man's eagerness to increase his money and his prestige. So the damage that you can envision when you have two hungry wolves set loose upon a flock of sheep, the damage of that is less than the harm that is caused by a person's eagerness to increase his money and his prestige. Prophet ﷺ also reported to have said that three things destroy and three things save. So three things destroy, three things save. As for the three things that destroy, they are greediness that is obeyed. This is one of the things, the first thing that destroys. Desires that are followed, and a person becoming self-conceited and proud with himself. So these are the things that can destroy a person, destroy the spirituality of a person, destroy the faith of a person. Greediness that is obeyed, desires that are followed, and person becoming self-conceited and proud with himself. As for three things that save, these are the three things that can destroy a person. The three things that can save a person: fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in secret and public, moderation in poverty and richness. Right? So whether a person is alone making decisions, whether a person, you know, is alone on the internet, is alone in a situation where no one else is aware of what is going on, has the opportunity of making decisions secret so that no one is ever going to find out, having the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that situation, and having the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when a person is in public. Both of these things are the things that can save. Moderation in poverty and richness. So when a person has been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person is moderate. When a person has been given somewhat less by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even then, that person is moderate. And finally, fairness in anger and pleasure. So that you are fair all the time. Not only when you're happy and that you become unfair when you become angry, rather you are fair in both situations, in pleasure and in anger. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling us that greediness is not an ingredient for success. Rather, it's an ingredient for failure. So if we act upon our instincts to become greedy, to run after wealth, to run after material things, with disregard for everything else, for other things that are important, this is an ingredient. This is a recipe for failure. It is not a recipe for success. At different times during our lives, we lose sight of what's important and we start spending way too much time. We lose sight of what is important and we start spending way too much time and effort in going after more and more and more. So we lose our balance. We lose the balance in our lives. So for example, the stock market takes over our mind. Or our work takes over our life. Or our business takes over our soul. And all we keep thinking about is how to get more and more and more. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that we should be lazy. We already talked about that a few Fridays ago. I'm not saying that we should not work hard. But just don't do it for more wealth or more fame or more power. Work hard, balance your life, don't be lazy, do things that are important, but do it in a balanced way and do it with the right intentions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also reminds us in the Quran when he says, اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد. That know well that the worldly life, this life that you're living right now, this reality that you think you're in right now, this presence is but a play and amusement. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us? That this is all play and amusement and a show of beauty. An exchange of boastful claims between you, and a competition of increase in riches and children. So this is all like a game, right? This is like you're playing Monopoly, for example. Okay, this is all a game. At the end of it, you realize, we're just playing a game. I was so serious about it. I took it so seriously. I got so passionate about it. But at the end, it was just a game. It was just, amusement. It's a show of beauty, right? So we compete with one another in, looking good. Compete with one another in things that we think will make us higher in people's eyes, right? We compete with one another in wealth and so on. We play, right? So even when you play the markets, that's what it's called, right? You play the stock market, right? You do things that are basically a form of amusement, though you think very seriously that this is something that is reality. And of course, competition of increases in riches and children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on and tells us that all of this is like a rain, the growth of which attracts the farmers. All of this is like a rain, the growth of which attracts the farmers. So when it rains, the growth that comes out that attracts the farmers, then it withers. Right? It doesn't stay like that forever. Right? The farmlands, the crops, don't continue growing forever and forever. Right? And you see it turning yellow and it becomes straw. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us this is the reality. Right? So right now, it's like it's rained, and you're seeing the fruits, you're seeing the crops, right? You're attracted by it. But sooner or later, it's going to turn yellow, it's going to turn into straw. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the hereafter, there is a severe punishment and forgiveness from Allah and pleasure. The worldly life is nothing but a material of delusion. What is it? Nothing but a material of delusion. So just like when you're driving, on a hot day, right? On the highway, you look like there's a puddle, there's water ahead, right? Mirage, looks like there's water, but there isn't. It's actually delusion. So this worldly life is nothing but a material of delusion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this reminder that, I've put you on this earth, right? This is a test for you. Take it seriously, but understand the reality of that test. Right? Understand that these things that you're involved in or that you're attracted to are all temporary. Right? They're not there, they're not going to be there forever. They are going to end one day. So think about how much time and effort you should allocate for the things that are temporary versus the things that are permanent. Think about how much time and effort you should put towards the things that are temporary versus the things that are permanent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, going back to greed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set up a number of constraints right? A number of speed bumps or roadblocks that can control or at least slow down this urge to be greedy. If a person takes these seriously, if a person takes these roadblocks seriously, these speed bumps seriously, it can slow down the urge at the very least, or restrain a person from falling into that trap of being greedy. And even if you like to be greedy, right? Even if you think that, okay, perhaps, you know, I should be going after more and more, when you think about these things, especially when it comes to your wealth, if you take these things seriously, it actually makes it very difficult, or it can make it very difficult, to some extent, to be greedy. So when it comes to wealth, and the way we earn money, and the way we look at increasing our wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, number one, that you must be earning from a halal source. That your income must be from a halal, a permissible source. So that in itself right there takes out a number of options. Takes out a number of investment options. Takes out a number of options where, you know, of things where you could be involved in which you could be involved in, but you know that you're not allowed to. The prohibition of riba, of usury or of interest, takes out a number of investment avenues, right? So that constrains, it narrows your focus, and you say, okay, I can't do this, I can't do that, I need to stay away from this, I need to stay away from that. Clearly, the prohibition of cheating, of theft, misappropriation, corruption, bribery, all of these things, that also slows that down. Being careful with debt. You know, being careful with debt. Nowadays, it's so common, right? It's so easy to fall into debt. For example, every other day, well, not every other day, but every once in a while, you know, I'll get junk mail at home, right? Actual mail, I'm not talking about email, but actual letters, you know, offering me loans, right? Offering me loans, low interest loans. And the latest one was 6 months of no interest. So you're qualified, you're pre-qualified, just take the certificate, just walk in, you could get $10,000. What do you want to do? What would you do with $10,000? Do you want to buy a new car? Do you want to get that swimming pool? Do you want to do renovations at home? Do you want to take a trip? Were you thinking about all these things? Well, here you go. Here's $10,000. No interest for 6 months. How tempting is that? Even for a Muslim, right? If you're trying to avoid interest, right? You think, hey, I could get $10,000 for 6 months without any interest. You know, maybe I can invest it somewhere. Maybe I can use it for something. Maybe I can figure out a way to pay it back in 6 months without, you know, having to pay any interest, right? But these are all traps. Right, these are all traps, again, appealing to our greed, right? Appealing to, you know, hey, we can do something more. I can do something with these $10,000. I can, you know, make more money out of it, maybe. Maybe I'll put it somewhere and I'll get, you know, $12,000 and I'll return the $10,000 and I'll end up with $2,000 and so on and so forth, right? All of these things are temptations. These are ways to, you know, sort of sucker you in, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has talked about debt and how, you know, we need to be careful about debt. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, made the dua, which we talked about regarding laziness and so on, you know, about protection from al-dain, the burden of debts, right? So we have to be careful that if you're going to take a debt, right, if you're going to put debt upon yourself, if you're going to take a loan, you do it after you think it through. You think, okay, is this something that I really need? Is this something that is going to help me? Is this something that I can pay off? Is this something that is reasonable, that I truly need? Or is it simply, you know, a way of increasing my satisfaction, you know, or is it a way of playing upon my greed, and so on and so forth? And finally, of course, the obligation and the excellence of zakat and sadaqah, as we have been taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you are regular in giving our zakat every year, if you are regular in giving sadaqah, in giving charity regularly, right, that is something that can also, if you keep doing it regularly, can kill our greed, right? Because it forces you to open up and to give. And if you start doing that, if you start doing that enough times, then hopefully, you know, that those feelings, those temptations of wanting more and more can be subdued. I'd like to end with a couple of ahadith that can help us gain some important perspective. Right, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa al-ghina an kathratil ard." Laysa al-ghina an kathratil ard. That richness is not in the quantity of possessions that a person has. True richness is not in the quantity of possessions that a person has. Walakin al-ghina ghina an-nafs. Rather, true richness is the richness of oneself or contentment. Right. So, true richness is not what your bank balance looks like. Right? True riches is not, you know, how much gold or how much jewelry you have, or how many, you know, properties you have, and so on and so forth. That's not what true richness is. Right? That's not who you call rich. But rather, the true richness is the richness of oneself when a person is content, or a person is satisfied with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also reported to have said, مَا قَلَّ وَكَفَى خَيْرٌ مِمَّا كَثُرَ وَأَلْهَى. That which is little, that which is less, yet is sufficient, is better than that which is much, but distracts the person. Distracts from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Distracts from things that are important. So once again, richness is not in the quantity of possessions. Right? That's not what makes a person rich. What makes a person rich is the richness of one's self, the contentment that a person has. And that which is little, even if it is less, yet if it is sufficient for your needs, that is much better. That is better than that which is much. Right? So if you have less, but it's enough for you, that is much, much better than having too much, which ends up distracting you, which takes away your peace of mind, which distracts you from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which takes away the peace from your life. So let's try to be satisfied with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what Allah has given us, instead of being greedy, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and we have discussed this many, many times, that in shakartum la azidannakum, that if you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you an increase if you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He has given you. On the other hand, if you're not grateful and you keep looking for more and more and more and working harder and harder and harder, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, fine, if you want to work for it, if you want to continue, you know, putting yourself through this trouble, go ahead. Go ahead. And you keep working, keep working, and keep working harder, harder and harder and harder. Again, this is not to say that it's not good to work hard and not be lazy, but rather you keep working with the intention of being greedy, right? While looking for more and more and more and more, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give you satisfaction, you will not have peace of mind, and even when you have all the riches in the world, you will still find yourself dissatisfied. Again, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, right? If the human being is given one value of gold, human being will want two. Right? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from greed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the reckless love for wealth, and grant us satisfaction with His blessings. I also want a couple of requests for dua for those who have deceased. Our brother Sadaqat Hayat, his cousin in Pakistan, passed away. And also Sister Samina Morris's cousin, also in Pakistan, also passed away. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them both forgiveness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give patience to their loved ones. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease their time in their graves, and to grant them a good station in Jannah. Ameen.